Your words, Lord, are spirit and life. This is the psalm response today, and it is also the theme chosen for this morning's Mass. Your words, Lord, are spirit and life. Surely significant that when we're focusing on this theme, we're also reflecting on our loved ones who have died. The Lord's words are spirit and life. We know those who have died have life in Him. We pray especially for a boy. It's hard to believe that a year has gone by already. 1 year since we heard that sad news about his passing. We were in signal, what is it? We were signal three. It was a COVID time, it was a lockdown time, remember? And just 1 year ago. So it was hard to get together, and of course the family was quarantined and all kinds of contradictions. But now that 1 year has passed, we can return again to that experience and say, well, the Lord was in charge a year ago and He's in charge now. He was spirit and life 1 year ago and He's spirit and life now. His words are life-giving words. I mentioned at the beginning, we're also praying for the repose of the soul of Eva's mother, who just died last night, and Don's sister-in-law, who just died this morning. And you might know that later this morning, we're going to have a Mass in the diocese led by Bishop Mercado, a Requiem Mass in honor of Pope Benedict XVI. So a lot of people that we know who have died, who are alive in the Lord. So let's focus a little bit on this theme, your words, Lord, are spirit and life. Notice, first of all, that we're saying this to the Lord Himself. Not that we have to tell Him that His words are spirit and life. He knows it already. In fact, what we're doing is we're affirming what He has said to us and what we experience from His word. We're celebrating, Lord, your words are spirit and life. Not informing Him, we're affirming and celebrating what He has revealed. And it is the psalm response to this section of Psalm 19, which we sang. But that verse itself doesn't come from Psalm 19. It's a reference to John's Gospel, John chapter 6, famous discourse of the Lord on the bread of life. You remember this discussion in which Jesus reveals Himself as the bread of life, and some people are finding it difficult to accept. And so He says, this is John chapter 6, verse 63, "It is the Spirit that gives life, while the flesh is of no avail. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and life." So Jesus Himself reveals and says directly, His words are spirit and life. But there are some of you who do not believe. But just because the word is spirit and life doesn't mean that we have spirit and life simply by hearing the word. It has to be received, accepted, believed. A little bit later in the chapter, when some people do not accept the word and they do not accept the bread of life, they leave Him. And Jesus says to the 12, "Well, are you also going to leave?" And remember Simon Peter's famous response, "Master, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." Peter doesn't have to tell Jesus that he has the words of eternal life. Jesus told Peter that. But Peter's response, "You have the words of eternal life," is an affirmation and an acceptance of that truth. And that's what we're doing today. When we're saying, "Your words, Lord, are spirit and life," we're accepting the truth that has been revealed. We're acknowledging the experience of receiving life from God by His word, being filled with His spirit by His word. The dramatic example from today's gospel is Levi, or Matthew, the tax collector. What did Jesus say to him? "Follow me." That's it. Two words, that's it. "Follow me," yes. And that had an extraordinary impact on him. It was spirit and life for Matthew, Levi. Changed his whole life. We can reflect a little bit on the nature of words. We are dealing with words all the time, human words, natural words. And we sometimes take for granted what extraordinary impact words have. When we were children, we were told to repeat this little rhyme. I don't know if you learned this as children, but we did. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. And names, how did it go? Names? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. Is that right? And we're told that because, you know, kids tease each other and call each other names and it hurts. And we're supposed to say, well, names will never hurt me. In fact, names do hurt us. That's why we have to be told, well, you don't have to let names hurt you, but names do hurt us. When people get labeled as children or as adults, it hurts. Words have impact on us. So that little expression, names will never hurt me, isn't really true, but it's an affirmation that we don't have to allow ourselves to be hurt. We don't have to accept every word deep into our hearts. We can stand against words that are harmful to us. At the other extreme, one extreme is that words don't mean anything, it doesn't matter. The other extreme is that we can, with our words, change the whole nature of reality. And that's becoming a popular idea. It's not true, but it's what people think. They think that simply by deciding, we can change things. And the extreme case of it is the transgender ideology, that a person can merely by saying the words change himself from a man to a woman, or from a woman to a man. No, we don't have that much power in our words. But words do have power. They do have effect. That's why I'm thinking about hearing the news about Brother Boy when he died. That really has effect on us when someone tells us so-and-so died. It really hits us. And that it's fresh in my mind because just last night I got a message. Eva's mother died. Oh, we were praying for her. She's 94 years old. It's not a surprise, but it still has impact. And then this morning I got a message from Don. His sister-in-law died. We were praying for her. She had a very severe illness. She was in the hospital. So it's not a surprise that she dies. But when the words come to us, it still has impact on us. And then we, if we're going to respond with words, we say, well, may the Lord have mercy on him or on her. May the Lord grant him or her eternal rest. Those are right words to say. And then we offer condolences to the people who are mourning. Those words are not empty words. They have meaning. They have impact. And we're just talking about human words. So that human word has a certain amount of power, not unlimited. But once we talk about the Word of God, now we're launching words into a completely new level. Words that have the power to accomplish what they say. And this is clear from the scriptures, from the very beginning. Remember, the very beginning of the Bible, what does God say? Let there be light. That's a word. Let there be light. What happens? There's light. It has an extraordinary power. God's word does what it says. That's why Matthew or Levi experiences this call so powerfully. Follow me. It's not just an ordinary sound bouncing off his ears. He's being given a whole new possibility. It's an invitation to a whole new life. It's like being created anew to have the word of God addressed to us. New creation. Follow me, an invitation. But this is clear throughout the scriptures. And Jesus' words are constantly shaking people, saving people, drawing people from illness, saving them from evil spirits, even raising them from the dead. We're talking about real power, spirit and life. Why is it? Why is this so? Because words, communication, give us contact with the very nature of God Himself. What do we know about God revealed through Jesus? God is a speaker, and what He speaks is His Son, whom we call the Word. The Word is God. The Word was God. The Word was with God. The Word is God. God the Word. And what we're celebrating when we celebrate Jesus Christ is the Word made flesh, divine Word made flesh. So anytime we're talking about words, we have a contact point with this eternal divine mystery. God Himself is Word. So every word somehow is a reflection of that mystery. Now, I'm talking to an audience of Anuan people, so people who ponder the Word in their hearts. Why do we ponder the Word in our hearts? Because we want to open ourselves to this power, this spirit and life, this life-giving mystery. Your words, Lord, are spirit and life. It doesn't mean that we get spirit and life from the Word. I could pick up this Bible and throw it at you, bop you on the head with it. That's not going to give you spirit and life. I could read this from the Bible. I could read words to you all day long. Doesn't mean it's going to give you spirit and life. What about the response of our hearts? That's the key thing. That's why we repeat this. We're not just saying it to God. We're saying it to ourselves. The words of the Lord are spirit and life. That's why I have to listen to these words. Let them have their impact on me. If I don't, well then, they're not spirit and life for me. They're spirit and life coming from God, but it doesn't mean it has any effect on me. So, affirming that the Lord's words are spirit and life is important for us so that the power coming from God, being communicated from God to us, really has its effect. Again, we look at the example of Levi. He's sitting in his customs post. He's sitting in the world. He's sitting in sin. He's caught in his attachments. He's in a kind of dead, paralyzed condition. The Word comes from the Word. Jesus, the Word made flesh, speaking divine words in human language, says, "Follow me." And Levi says, "Yes." He gets up and follows him. He receives the Word. He could have said no. He could have said no. "I know, I'm not going to follow you. I'm busy. I've got something else to do. I've got money. I've got customers. I've got, you know, full schedule, you know, maybe later." He could have said that, and that's the sort of response we can make to the Word. But if we do that, then the Word is not spirit and life for us. Okay, I think the point is clear enough. We're acknowledging that the Lord's words are spirit and life, and we are opening ourselves to His Word so that His power, His spirit, His life, His mercy can reign in us. And when the Word reigns in us, it reigns in our world, because we become instruments of the divine Word for others.